No Excuse for Spiritual Weakness, Ellen G. White. One of the first things to be considered is the preaching of the Word. The truth should be preached in simplicity, and ministers should try, as far as possible, to imitate the manner of Christ's teaching. If the truth is spoken in simplicity and received in simplicity, Christ will be presented as a perfect Savior, and the Spirit will witness to the truth and move upon hearts to accept the free gift of the righteousness of Christ. The words spoken under the influence of the Spirit of God, if accepted, are a savor of life unto life. If rejected, they are a savor of death unto death. We cannot plead temptation as an excuse for spiritual weakness, for God has provided that we shall not be tempted above that we are able to bear, but that with every temptation He will make a way of escape. If we live wholly for Him, we shall not allow the mind to indulge in selfish imaginings, thus giving place to the tempter, and in no case can Satan obtain control over the thoughts, words, and actions, unless we voluntarily open the door and invite him to enter. He will then come in, and, by catching away the good seed sown in the heart, make the truth of none effect. He will sow his tares and cause them to grow until they yield an abundant harvest. We cannot plead that we have less light than had God's ancient people, for we have the truth and the light that was given to them. It has come down to us as an hereditary trust to be given to all peoples and tongues. Because they were not doers of the word and knew not the time of their visitation, they became an astonishment and a reproach before the world. Can we expect that the Lord will favor us more than He favored them, and will establish us as a praise in the earth, if we are not obedient to His law? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Though Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, Jesus sets before them their poverty-stricken condition. In this portrayal, He has presented before all that claim to believe the law of God that they need to buy of Him gold tried in the fire, and white raiment that they may be clothed, and that the shame of their nakedness may not appear. If those to whom light has come had received, appreciated, and acted upon it, they would have been placed in connection with God, and would have been channels through which His blessings could flow to the world. We know not how much more tolerable it will be in the day of judgment for those who have been prevented from hearing the truth of God and from working for Him, because of the unfaithfulness of His people, than for the unfaithful ones to whom great light has been given. They have failed to manifest the spirit of self-denial, and have not acted their part on their sphere, as Christ acted His part in His sphere, to save the perishing souls of men. Could such persons be expected to have a vigorous spiritual life? God is testing His people. He will see whether their spiritual life is weak and languishing, or vigorous and abounding. All who bear the proving will be counted worthy to be members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. But let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Many are blinded to their true condition. They believe that they are in favor with God, that they are rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing. But when the judgment shall sit, and the books shall be opened, and every man shall receive according as his works have been, will they venture to plead that they have done many good works that should balance the past in the golden scales of the sanctuary? No, for they are spiritually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The true witness says to such, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Let us heed the message of the true witness, given to us in warning. If we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He, our substitute and surety, stands before the mercy seat, pleading our cause in the courts of God. And in sympathy with their loved commander, all the heavenly intelligences have an intense interest in all that concerns us. Will it not work us good to comprehend this fact, that the angels are commissioned to minister to all who shall be heirs of salvation, who are lawfully striving to win the crown of life? Why are the chosen of God, His elect people, so silent upon the wondrous theme of redeeming love? Why is man's gratitude so little toward Him who has given His life to save the lost race from eternal ruin? Heaven views the plan of salvation with amazement, and cherubim and seraphim continually cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Why should not man arouse and manifest enthusiasm concerning the wonderful condescension of God to a fallen race? Oh, may our sluggish energies be quickened, that we may reveal to a perishing world the matchless depths of a Savior's love.